Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. I'm Phil Carroll, and today we're joined by Noel Lyons, CEO of Edenville Energy. Welcome, Noel. Nice to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Phil. Great to be here.
So obviously today we saw the Rukwa Coal Project operational date. Do you want to talk us through just how significant this news is?
Well, yeah, it's very significant actually, because after a very long period of inactivity and, you know, subject to myself and my colleagues being appointed to the board, it has taken us the last 3 months really to get a good grip on the operation on the ground. And we spent a lot of time on the ground. And the reason we spent the time there was to find the best solution for the company to deliver a tonnage of coal that we believe is easily achievable with the right management in place. So the fruits of our labor are beginning to show now. After 3 months, we have worked very hard on getting the old equipment, which is on site, because it came to site as a secondhand equipment. And we've worked very hard to fix it and to really put a process in place where we can maintain it on an ongoing basis. And that equipment is now back up and running. And that was our focus for the last 3 months. It hasn't been easy because, as you can imagine, the location of Rukwa is isolated, and it takes time to get spare parts. What we have done now is we started to build up a stockpile so that we don't have these issues going forward. But before, it was there, something would break, and the whole thing was shut down, and they'd wait for the part to be delivered. Hopefully that won't be happening in the future. Yeah, so that's why we are now able to say confidently that we have a certain expectation of output, which is in and around 4,000 tonnes a month.
I mean, it seems like EDL went through some significant changes when obviously you were appointed as CEO. And with this newly appointed executive team, there was an initial 12-month agreement with Brahma Energies to secure production and sales. So do you feel like the company is in a very different position now than it was before you joined?
Yeah, it's very different now. You know, there were previous hiccups. I don't really want to get into the history, to be honest with you. I'm much more focused on the view going forward. But yeah, you know, obviously you had COVID, you had difficulties in general in the marketplace. But now, you know, we have a mine with a significant resource, and there's absolutely no reason why this mine can't be producing significant quantities of coal. The equipment on the ground and the operational team were not able to deliver due to the, you know, logistical issues. Location of the mine doesn't help, but, you know, we're very, very lucky that we've arrived at a time when the demand for coal is going through the roof, and the price per ton of coal is going through the roof. So from an offtake perspective, we actually have a queue of clients who are looking. You know, I get emails every day from people asking me, can we supply X tonnage of coal? And so the offtake and the sales side of the business is very, very buoyant. Obviously, in order to fulfill an order of coal, you must have a consistent supply. You know, it's not a question of producing 3,000 tons this month, 2,000 tons next month. Suppliers don't like that because that leaves them short. So we had been cautious before signing a deal until we were very confident of the minimum output. So now that we are confident with that, we can go ahead and sign these supply agreements with the clients. And, you know, there is competition.
So that's good. Now, tell everybody listening just a little background about whereabouts the mine is. Obviously, it is in far-flung places. And yet, just a little bit about the background so everyone can grasp what's
sure.
going on.
Sure. Yeah, so the mine is located in the northwest of Tanzania. And it's in order to get there, take it from Dar es Salaam, which most people would be aware of, at least vaguely on the map. You have to take a three-hour flight and then a seven-hour drive cross-country. Just to get to the nearest town. The nearest town is called Sebawanga. It's a small town and it's very, very remote. However, it happens to be very close to one of the main road arteries that runs through Tanzania, going north to the neighboring countries like Rwanda, for example. So it's even though it's inaccessible from a general perspective, it is accessible. You know, I've been in more remote places, you know, so there is connectivity. Because it's such a huge demand for coal, both internationally and locally. And when I say internationally, I mean outside of the neighbouring countries. So we regard our market as the neighbouring countries, you know. You've got Rwanda in particular, and even Kenya is a local. We would see it as a local market. But because the demand for coal is international export is so high, we're tapping into the gap in the market. And we have several clients looking to do business with us.
So yeah. all the coal prices that you quote is somebody picking the coal up from your operation by road?
Yeah, they're picking it up at the gate. So we sell at the gate, and the rest is up to the client.
Up to them. And yeah. in the RNS, it stated that you were getting between $30 and $50 per ton at the gate. But yeah. I take it that has substantially increased then, without giving us...
No, it has increased. It has increased. We have offers higher than that. I wouldn't say substantially, but significantly, you know, it has significantly increased. And the potential for further increases is there because it's a question of logistics at the end of the day. And there's a potential for Edenville at this mine to negotiate with clients on the logistics side, where we can potentially help them reduce their logistics costs. And that saving comes back to us. So we're looking closely at that at the moment. So there are many opportunities for us to increase the net price per ton of coal to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, is there any figures in the market, or you have any figures of how much it actually costs you to produce the coal? Obviously, it's a sliding scale. The more you go up, I presume, the more you manage to produce, the cheaper it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd rather, you know, maybe we could follow up on another conversation and give you a little bit more information on that. And the reason I'm saying that is that we are only just beginning to get the whole system and the plant running at full capacity. We've only started that in the last few days. So if I give you numbers, it's only going to be guesstimate. I would prefer to give you the reality as soon as we have it. So by the end of this month, you know, I can talk to you in a much more qualified way. Let's put it.
Yes. No, I understand. I understand because, and I mean, also stated in the RNS, and again, it was clear that you think you can get more than 6,000 a month, which is what you were aiming for, 6,000 tons a month. And you know, from a productivity point of view, what is the aim? You know, what is the maximums, obviously, because the wash plant can do significant amounts, obviously. So, what is your target, if you like?
Well, can I just approach that from a slightly different perspective? And I would add, to answer that question by raising another question, which is, what would our bottlenecks be? It's easier to look at it from that perspective. So, what is stopping us from producing any quantity we want? Well, you know, the obvious answer to that is the fact that this particular coal has to be washed. And the washing process has a limit, you know. It has a limit on the current plant. That doesn't mean that we can't expand the capacity of the current plant by acquiring a new one or another one or whatever, or modifying this plant to increase capacity. But currently, the capacity of this plant is technically the capacity. If you ask the engineers, they will say, well, the capacity of this plant is 100 tons per hour in, and that's in, and approximately 35 tons per hour out the other end. That's if this plant were brand new, fully functioning, and with all the bells and whistles that you would get with the current technology in the market. Unfortunately, that's not what we're dealing with, and we're dealing with an old plant which hasn't been well maintained. So we're getting substantially less. We're getting about 50% of that output at the moment. But there are other things that affect the output and other things such as exactly what are we putting in, you know, what is going in. So the run of mine that goes into the wash plant, where is that coming from? Can we improve on the quality of what's going in order to improve the quality and the quantity of what comes out in terms of wash coal? So the answer to that question is yes. Can we do anything with the coal during the process, the wash plant process, to increase output? The answer to that is also yes. So there are several opportunities for us to improve on the current capacity restrictions, but also we can run the wash plant 24 hours. So we could do two or three shifts once everything is in place and everything is running smoothly. All that takes is a few, you know, floodlights just to maintain the plant area well lit. So for safety reasons, while we're doing that, the team is there, the team is available. So the potential to increase output is there. Whether we can achieve the maximum or not remains to be seen. And that's what we've been very clear about in the RNS to date. We don't want to mislead people. We don't want to give them any false, you know, false information. We will report as we go and as on reality, on facts. And but we're very optimistic. We're very optimistic that we can, you know, there's no point in reaching expectation. We need to exceed expectation. That's our goal.
Yeah, and it was an interesting thing that you said to us before we came on air was that you are all incentivized in terms of your production of coal. So you're basically going to receive more the more coal that is produced, which is a great situation for the shareholders, I think.
I totally agree. I mean, we get a relatively small director's fee, you know, in terms of a CEO of a named company. I mean, you know, it doesn't count. it's effectively a non-executive director director's fee. I'm incentivized, as are my colleagues, my management colleagues, Paul Ryan, particularly myself. We're the executive team on the board. We're incentivized on the basis of output of tonnage. So the higher the output, the better we will do in terms of share options. And we will be incentivized by share options. And obviously, from time to time, we have an opportunity to buy into the market once, you know, once we get clearance and we're not in a closed period, etc. And we're keen to do that. I mean, I already did that. I just dipped my toe in the market recently. But, you know, I'm very keen to buy more shares myself because I believe in the project.
So do you think value-wise it has length of mine in place and the ability to crank it up, if you like? I mean, based on what you just said, the calculations, you're talking 10,000 to 11,000 tons production of clean coal that is possible under the current circumstances. And obviously that depends on whether you increase the wash plant or do something to the wash plant. But do you see that as feasible going forward?
It is feasible, but it's a big challenge at the same time. You know, I don't want to pretend that you can just press a button and that'll happen. You know, it'll take us time. And I think also, you know, it's important not to just focus on the wash plant because you have to feed the wash plant, you know, so a lot of work goes into, you know, getting the run of mine to the wash plant, targeting the right areas within our license area, within the prospecting area, making sure that we're working the right coal seams. There are many other things that go along. You know, we have to clean away the overburden. So many, many other steps have to be taken before we get to the wash plant. And all of those have to be taken into account. You can't just, you know, the coal doesn't magically appear at the wash plant if the capacity increases. So we're looking at it, you know, in a very holistic way. So we're looking at the overall picture to make sure that we're doing the best that mine can do under the particular and the current circumstances. And we're also looking at ways of, you know, significantly increasing output. There are other ways we can do that. I'd rather not get into it right now, but I'd love to come back and talk about that relatively soon if I have the opportunity. But we do have our sights set on some other technology that can help us significantly increase our output.
So basically, with the wash plant now working consistently and in conjunction with Brahma, presumably shareholders can expect to maybe see some news as you enter into supply agreements identified with existing clients and potentially new clients. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We will be, making further announcements in terms of offtake, in terms of supply, in terms of price, sales price, and subsequent increased output as well.
Since you came in January or February, you've changed the whole thing around and basically kicked some butt, and now hopefully it's going to make some money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I joined in the middle of July, so it's been no problem. So it's been 2.5 to 3 months that we've been working on this, and it's easy for me to sit here and talk nicely and in a kind of a sanitized environment, but it's a tough environment mining, and there were a lot of issues. We encountered a lot of issues that we have to deal with. We significantly changed the personnel on the ground. We encountered issues that we had to deal with, and we had to be tough. This is not an environment for any sign of weakness. You need to be tough. You need to be in control of your operation, and on a day-to-day basis, because there are a number of things that can go wrong. So we had to make hard decisions, and we made them, and we put the right people in the right place, and I think we will reap the rewards of those tough decisions now going forward.
Yeah, and economically, you're in the right place to have coal, because 12 months ago, you were the pariah, and now everybody wants you.
Absolutely. And we can't believe our luck, quite frankly, because coal has been a dirty word, forgive the pun, for many, many years. Now I think, with energy security on the top of people's agenda, coal is suddenly coming back into favor. I don't want to get into this right now, but it's certainly worth thinking about. Coal can be produced safely and cleanly, and it can be burned and turned into energy safely and cleanly in an environmentally friendly way. I think that people just don't understand how it can be managed with modern technology in order to protect the environment while we provide a secure source of energy to people who desperately need it and countries who desperately need it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think basically the clean energy scenario is going to happen, but the speed that it was going to happen was never going to be possible, even without the problems in Ukraine and Russia. And that's becoming, clearly evident as time goes by, that we're going to need coal for the next number of years, if not decade.
I agree. And I'm a huge proponent of the clean energy. I believe in it, and I believe in protecting the environment and everything we do at the mine and on the ground. That's foremost in our thinking. But if you study the energy industry closely, you'll realize that in order for clean energy to work, it needs support. And, that support, as the clean energy gets stronger and over time, and it's going to take several years, it will need constant support from fossil fuels or from nuclear while clean energy builds and grows. So, it's not a question of one or the other. I think we have to look at this again in a holistic way and say one can help the other to get to where it needs to be, protect, collectively then we protect the planet in the process. And that's the way to do it.
Noel Lyons, CEO of Edenvale Energy, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.